Welcome to the Way of Success. Pastor Banky is teaching the principles of life established in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, whose kingdom indeed reigns over all. Relax and listen, and you'll be blessed by this message.
It's good to be with you again on today's broadcast. And I want to acknowledge and thank all those of you who have been writing us to tell us what God has been doing in your lives by these words that has been coming forth. May the Lord continue to increase you abundantly in the name of Jesus. Now, today we want to go on speaking about the subject of faith, which we have spoken about extensively in the last many episodes. And to start today's teaching, I would like to read from the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verse 6. He said, "And without faith, it is impossible to please him," that is God. He said, "For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him." If you have the King James, it says, "who diligently seek him." That God is a rewarder. Now, what I want to emphasize from there is the fact that without faith, it is impossible to please God, meaning that it is a foundation for being pleasing to God. And whether we like it or not, God is God over this life. It means that your desires are not God. What you wish for is not necessarily what will come to you in life. These are things we have established in previous teachings. That the nation you live in is not God. That is, if God decides that you are going to prosper in Nigeria, you will prosper. But if God says you will not prosper and you move to the most prosperous nation on this earth, you will still not prosper. That it is possible to be in the midst of abundance and suffer lack. It is possible to be in the midst of plenty and not have enough to eat. That's it. That's a fact of life. So if God does not bless you, you are not blessed. So it's a fact. We have to understand that. So we have seen that in previous teachings, that God is the judge of all things. He is a rewarder of all that we do. Everything that we do in life, the Bible says, God will bring to judgment. That is, if you do good, God will bring you to judgment for good. Which means that the judgment for good is that God will reward you with good, with kindness, with mercy, with prosperity, with long life. And if you have done evil, God will bring you into the power, what the Bible calls the power of the evil one. That because it is the devil that has the power of death. But before he can do anything in anybody's life, God has to give him the right. God has to give him the opportunity to do it. That if you remember the story of Job, before Satan could afflict Job, God had to give him the right to afflict Job. He just couldn't walk in and afflict Job. What I'm explaining is that a lot of times we emphasize so much on confronting the devil. We emphasize so much on resisting Satan, when in reality, the person that we need to check our relationship with is God. Because if our relationship with God is steadfast, Satan is automatically resisted. It is not the amount of time you shout, "I resist you, Satan. I come against you. I hinder you. I break down your work, Satan." That is not what really resists Satan. The Bible says you resist him steadfast in your faith. That is, your relationship with God is what really resists Satan. If you are steadfast in faith, you are resisting the devil without even thinking about it. We know that Abraham is the father of faith, and Satan existed in the time of Abraham. Yet, Abraham never walked with the consciousness of the existence of Satan. However, he walked in the consciousness of the existence of God, the promise of God, and his walk before God. When the king of Sodom came to him, he said to the king of Sodom, "Lest you say that I have made Abraham rich." When Melchizedek came to him, Melchizedek said to Abraham, "Blessed be Abraham of the Most High God, possessor of the heavens and the earth." That is, Abraham recognized that God is the one that blesses me, and this God is the possessor of the heavens and the earth. And if this God is happy with me, Satan cannot do anything about it. And that was why Abraham did not spend so much time worrying about the devil, but he spent all his time fine-tuning his relationship with God. And these are the things we have seen in previous times, that is, God is God. We have also seen that it is faith coupled with patience that inherits promises, that God has good things planned for every one of his children. In fact, everybody that has come to this earth, God has something good planned for the person. But that people don't walk with God. They don't walk in faith, so they don't get those promises. And even if they receive the word from God, which promises them certain good, they tend to be in a hurry. A man who knows that God desires for him to enter into abundance does not realize that he does not need to start running after abundance, but to start running after God. And in due season, Notice that word, due season, God will bring him into the place of abundance. So we say it is faith coupled with patience that inherits promises. Now, faith, we said, means that we recognize, like we have said, that God is God and there is none else. Society is not God. The big man you know or do not know is not God. Your father is not God. So whoever he is or he is not does not guarantee you any future because he's not God. And the nation you live in does not determine your prosperity, which means your nation is not God. That is what faith means. Now, we said in our last episode that this faith works by love. When we read from Galatians chapter 5, verse 6, of course, we said that love means that I am seeking to be a positive impact in somebody else's life. That love is not an emotional thing. It doesn't mean when I see a child suffering, I start crying. A man who cries but does nothing has not shown any love. But a man who looks and does not cry but responds to the suffering of that child is the one that has showed him love. So that's the point about love. So we said, in life, if your faith is going to work, it's going to be because as you're walking with God, you recognize that God has given you as a gift to your generation. He said, for God so loved that he gave his only begotten son. In the same manner, all the sons that he has had since are still expressions of his love towards mankind. Jesus said, as the Father has sent me, so I have sent you. That is, I came as an expression of the love of God for mankind. Also, you are going as an expression of my love for mankind. That is, I desire to heal their problems. I desire to heal their diseases. I desire to solve all the problems they may have in this life. He said, therefore, I have chosen you as my instrument of blessing. So as a child of God, if you are on this earth, you have to recognize that God has not called you to look for blessing. He has called you to look for how you can be a blessing. We said that those who prosper on this earth are those who set out in their hearts to be blessings to people. That when Solomon became great, so great that we all know about him today, the foundation for his greatness was not that he desired greatness. The foundation for his greatness was that when God said, ask for anything, God gave him a blank check, an open check. God said, fill anything you like in it. What is Solomon feeling? He said, I want wisdom and knowledge and understanding and discretion so that I will be able to rule these great and mighty people, so that prosperity will come to this land, so that peace and tranquility will be upon the peoples, so that the glory of God will manifest in the land. God noticed that in everything that Solomon asked for, none of those things was primarily for him. That is, Solomon's faith was walking through love. So we said, if you are going to succeed in life, it has to be because you are looking out for how you can be a blessing to people's lives. That you are not looking for how you can be blessed primarily. But if anything, even in your blessing, your desire is that you will be so blessed that you will be a blessing. Your desire is that you will be so blessed that you will be able to affect people's lives. That you are not looking for a million naira so that you can drive a good car. No, you are looking for a million naira so that you will be able to affect people's lives. Not so that they will be worshiping you as their God, but so that you will have satisfaction that you have done the will of the Father. Do you understand the point I'm making there? So that's what we said is meant by faith working by love. Now, I want to explain something further about this issue of faith today. Now, let's note this few points from where the portion of the scripture we read at the beginning, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. One, faith is what pleases God, not works. Let me explain that again. God does not like surprises, I keep on saying. You cannot please God just because you think that what you are doing will please him. No. Faith means that I take the word of God as real. I believe that he is God and it is his word that is final. If God says this thing pleases me, that's what I do. That is what really pleases God. Are you getting the point I'm trying to make? Now, because a lot of people, when they feel like they want to do the work of God, they want to do it in church. There are a lot of men who are crooked, who the way by which they massage their conscience is to go to church and build a cathedral for God. Now, the man is a crook, but he feels that by building a cathedral, I've given God his portion. But it doesn't work like that, because it is faith that pleases God. If you are a thief in your business, if you are a cheat in your business, if you are cheating people and defrauding them, you cannot give God enough to forgive you of that iniquity. Because you already know that God needs to be pleased. That's why you are trying to give to him so that he can be merciful unto you. But God said, I do not desire sacrifice. What I desire is obedience. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? So we have to understand that very well, that faith is what pleases God, not what we like to do. God must be pleased in his own way. Now, second point I should bring out is that a person who is pleasing to God is guaranteed of success. Let me say that again. A person who is pleasing to God is guaranteed of success. Do not forget that the thing that guarantees success in life, we said, it is God that shows mercy. That is, the mercy that God has shown a man is what guarantees him success. We said that the race is not to the swift, neither is a battle to the strong, that it is not of him that wills or of him that exerts the effort, but it is of God that shows mercy. Now, we've said this thing again and again in previous times, but what I want to use that to emphasize is this. If it is the mercy of God that is important, it means, therefore, that I should strive to be pleasing to God. Do you understand the point I make? It means that my desire in life should be to walk in faith. Paul said it like this. He said, labor to enter into God's rest. How do you enter the rest of God? He said, those who doubted God, who did not believe God, were not able to enter into his rest. That tells us, therefore, that it is laboring to have faith that is a work that God has given you. At the point in time, people came to Jesus Christ. He said, what must we do that we will be working the works of God? He said, the work of God is that you believe. Do you understand the point I'm trying to make? That if you are going to walk pleasing to God, it means you have to be walking by faith. Faith must be a part of your life. Now, what I want to bring out from there is this. Success is guaranteed, we said, if God is pleased with you, because it is God that shows mercy. You understand my point? And that what pleases God is that your life is a life of faith. Now, one thing I want you to understand here is that there are different levels of faith. And I want to just bring up two important levels that Jesus talked about. There's what Jesus called little faith. He will say, oh, you of little faith. What do I mean by those of little faith? If you notice, he only used that expression amongst those that are fearful. When Peter was walking on water according to the commandment of Jesus in Matthew chapter 14, and then he looked at the waves and things that were around him and he began to fear. The Bible said that he began to sink as a consequence. And immediately in verse 31, Jesus stretched out his hand and took hold of his hand and said, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? What am I saying? If your faith is small, you will get no results. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? That little faith means that you are looking at the circumstances above the word of God. And that's my main message for today. That what annoys God about people is that he says something and they decide to hear another thing. Let me explain that further. We have said again and again that God can bless you anywhere. There was a time I was teaching students somewhere, that was many years ago, and I explained to them that God can bless anybody anywhere, and that challenges are not the reasons for failure. That everybody who has succeeded in life has faced challenges, and the reason why we call the man a success is that he overcame a challenge. No man is ever described as a success because of where he lives. Then I gave an example to prove that point. Unfortunately for me, the example I gave was an old-time American. And as soon as I finished saying it, somebody put up his hand and reminded me that that can only happen in America. Now, I gave that example because it came from books that I read. You understand my point? And most of those books are not written by Nigerians. But they were the facts of life backed by the word of God. And when those things happened, America was not yet a prosperous nation. But a young man decided that you can say what you like, but as far as I am concerned, God is in America. What he has done is to demonstrate what the Bible calls little faith, in that the word of God to him is inferior to the evidence of the surroundings. Remember we said, everything speaks. Your society speaks. The country in which you live, there is a speech that he utters to you every day. The people that interact with you tell you things. But last of all, and most importantly, even God also speaks. He tells you things. Now, the person who takes hold of what God has said, despite what everybody else says, is the person that is said to be walking in faith. Do you understand that? Anyone who takes hold of what God has said, despite the situations around, is said to be walking in faith. And let me tell you something. God, you know, I keep on emphasizing this. God is God. If you believe him, the Bible said you will not be put to shame. It said nobody that hopefully waits for God is ever put to shame. Are you getting my point? Those that trust in him will not be ashamed. That is, even though things go wrong with everybody else, and the reason you are doing what you are doing is because you trust the word of God, you can never be put to shame. That's what I'm saying. It means that when they said you will fail, listen, you will succeed. When people say that you are being foolish, I've had people look me in the eye before and say they are sorry for me because I said I am doing what I'm doing because I believe that God will bless me anywhere I am. I've had more than one person. They'll just look at me and shake their heads and say, I'm sorry for you. Listen,
God stands behind me. I watch over my word to perform it. That's what God said. That if I say anything and somebody's holding on to it, I will never let my name be put to shame. The only problem God has is that people don't believe him. Jesus lamented and said, when I come back, will I find faith on the earth? Let me just emphasize this. Remember, I said there is little faith. Now, apart from little faith, Jesus often spoke about great faith. And contrary to little faith, he always referred to great faith when people got great results. Anyone that Jesus described as having great faith always got results in what the person is seeking for. Do you understand my point? Like, remember the story, the centurion who came to Jesus Christ and said that, my servant is at home, sick. Come and heal him, but you don't need to come. I know that despite the fact that there is distance, if you speak the word, my servant will be made whole. Now, let's break it down to our current day realities. Despite the fact that I do not have a sound education, despite the fact that I have not been born in a European country, despite the fact that I am not from a home where people are very rich, that is, the distance between me and where I'm going is great. He said, yet, master, if you speak the word, yet I will prosper. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? So Jesus will look at such a person and say, great is thy faith. Listen to me. If you will do like this with God, you can never fail. Listen, there was great distance between Jesus and the man who was sick. But because of the word of God in his mouth. Now, Jesus looked at that man and said, great is your faith. He said, I have now found such great faith in Israel. Listen, he told the man, he said, go, it shall be done for you as you have believed. That is, your servant will be made whole. Listen to me, child of God. It will be done for you as you have believed. You will prosper even if there appears to be a great distance between you and success right now. That is what is called great faith. Great faith, as opposed to small faith, looks at the word of God as being superior to every other evidence. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Again, let me use as an example the story we have read about Joshua and Caleb and the other 10 spies that went into the promised land. Listen, all of them saw the same thing. Are you getting what I'm saying? Everybody saw the same thing. But what marked one person different from another was what the person chose to put his emphasis upon. The 10 spies looked and said, there are giants in the land we cannot enter. Now listen, this is what faith is not. Faith does not mean I am saying there are no giants in the land. Some of the people who looked at me and said, I am sorry for you, it is because they thought I was blind to the problems of the society. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? But the reality is that I am not blind to the problems of the society. My eyes are just open to the solutions of God. That is, this man looked and said, there are giants in the land. For that reason, we will not be able to go in. Joshua and Caleb said, there are giants in the land, we know. But because God is on our side, the giants are insignificant. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? That is, there is no how on earth I will not prosper, because no matter what the situations around me dictates, God is superior to those situations. I hope you are following what I'm trying to say. Now listen, this is what God is looking for. The eye of the Lord, the Bible says, run to and fro the whole earth, that he may strongly support those whose heart is completely his, whose hearts are perfect towards him. That is, those who are relying completely on the Lord. And he gave a reference. If you read verse 8, that's 2 Chronicles chapter 16. He said, there was a time that the Ethiopians and the Lubim, they constitute an immense army. They came with many chariots and horsemen. He said, they came against you, O Asa. Yet, at that time, you relied on the Lord and he delivered them into your hand. I want you to understand this. Faith does not mean I don't realize that the army against me is great. Are you getting what I'm saying? But the real faith means that I have seen my challenges. Yet I know that no matter how big they appear, I can still overcome. Sometimes people want to do business. People look, they tell them that, who do you know? Nobody. No bank will give somebody like you a loan. You can never do such a great business. Jesus said, there is a quality of faith that is called mustard seed faith. Let me tell you, that was not talking about small faith, because you will see that Jesus said, when you have faith as a mustard seed, you can do great things. Yet those with little faith couldn't do anything. So mustard seed faith and little faith, they are not the same thing. But what was he saying? If you have faith, you will take whatever you have in your hands as a seed and start it. Let me tell you what I'm trying to say here. If God says that, now if God births a vision in you, maybe that's a better way to explain it, because I don't want to just be saying, God said. You now ask, God never spoke to me that something will happen. No, a lot of the things that God wants you to do are inside your heart as a vision. They're inside your heart as an intense desire. So maybe you look and deep inside your heart, what you really want to do is to have a university that will be training skilled young men and skilled young women who are excellent in character, who walk in integrity, who fear God from the bottom of their hearts. Now, here you are standing. Maybe the best you have in your favor is that you've just gone to university also. And possibly you didn't even go to university. As for your father lending you money, it is not possible. He's a pensioner. Are you getting the point I'm trying to make? As for a bank lending you money, no bank gives money to young men who want to start universities. But what will God say? He said, well, I have given you 1,000 naira. Go and rent a room and start a daycare. Are you following my point? Now, between your vision and your 1,000 naira, something that will, in a few years' time, become the greatest university in Africa, will start as a daycare center. That's why the Bible said God is able to multiply your seed for sowing. That is, the one you have sown, God will cause it to produce. From there, you make 2,000 naira. But if you are wise, you will not eat it. You will plant it back again. And by the law of geometric progression, in a short while, you will have so much money. And listen, you will not start a university that has 50 faculties. You will start with one faculty. Then it continues to grow because it is energized by the Spirit of God. Listen, there is no challenge strong enough on earth to stop that if you will walk by faith before God. Look, you can start an airline and start with as an Okada man. I hope you are getting what I'm trying to say. That is the power of the seed. Seed does not mean that I give somebody an offering. That is good seed. In fact, later we are going to talk about that, because there are two kinds of seed. Every money that God gives you, there is seed for sowing and there is bread for food. Amongst the seed for sowing, there are two kinds of seed. There is a spiritual seed, a money that you give to what we call giving to God. You give to charity, you give to a man of God, you give to the work of the ministry. That is spiritual seed. You give to somebody who is in need. You go to a motherless baby's home and give money to them. You give to charity. That's spiritual seed. And let me just emphasize that if you don't have spiritual seed, your physical seed is useless. If you are living only for yourself, the Bible says you will not live long. Remember the rich man whose land produced a great harvest. Jesus said, because he decided to store up everything for himself, God said, you fool, this night your soul will be required of you. And Jesus said, so is it with every man who is not rich toward God. That's a spiritual seed. Now, there is a physical seed in which God said in Psalm 126, when the people prayed, they said, restore our captivity, or restore our fortunes, O Lord, as streams renew the desert. Now, verse 5 was an answer from God. He said, those who sow in tears shall reap with joyful shouting. He who goes to and fro weeping, carrying his bag of seed, King James says precious seed, shall indeed come again with a shout of joy, bringing his sheaves with him. What he was talking about here is physical seed. That if people say, God, restore our economy, God said, go and make investments in those economies. That if you don't plant your seed, that is, make your investment in those areas, I can never cause your economy to prosper. Listen to me, there is no nation that has prospered because of foreign aid. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Nations prosper because from inside them, men arise and begin to make investments in that place. They begin to work hard. Nations that a few years ago, Japan, South Korea, which just a few decades ago would have been rated as third world countries, now become developed nations. Nothing came from outside. People inside there decided to plant their seed, and God showed mercy upon the seed they have planted. I hope you are following what I'm trying to say. So I'm explaining that if you sow your seed according to faith in God, there is nothing that can hinder you from prospering. If you have a dream of an airline and God gives you 5,000 naira today, make it a down payment for a Tokumbo Okada. That is a seed. Listen to what I'm saying. That is a seed. In a short while, it will become a bus company. In a short while, you'll be having luxury buses. Then one day, you will lease a small jet. In a short while, you are buying brand new Airbuses. That is the way it works. But somebody is probably sitting down and smiling and laughing in his heart that this cannot happen. Jesus said, it will be to you according to your faith. If you say it cannot happen, you will never prosper. That's what I'm talking about, faith. That the degree of victory that God can wrought in your life is the degree to which you can sit down and say, yes, God can do it in my life. Now, look, listen, I don't want you to miss any of this broadcast because it's very important. Many of the things we are going to be discussing. But foundation is this matter of faith. If your heart is not trusting in God, God cannot help you. But let me end today by emphasizing something. And that is the fact that, yes, we have said that there are different levels of faith. But I want you to understand that faith is dynamic. Meaning that faith that was on a small level today can go to a great level tomorrow. You understand my point? It doesn't mean that if your faith is small today, it is small forever. If you read Acts chapter 16, verse 5, you will see that the Bible said the churches were being strengthened in the faith. That is, their faith is weak today. It gets strengthened by tomorrow. And what I want to just end with, maybe we'll talk about that next time, is the process by which your faith gets stronger. That is, what do I do to make my faith stronger? Let me emphasize again. If you are strong in faith, trusting in God, there is nothing that God cannot do in your life. In fact, Gabriel said it like this to Mary. He said, with God, nothing shall be impossible. Meaning that anyone who is walking with God, with him, nothing is impossible. That is, any vision that God plants in your heart, please don't let Satan. Now, do you know what Satan is? I should quickly tell you what Satan is. Satan is when your friends are telling you the words of the enemy instead of the words of God. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? That is, when Peter looked at Jesus and said, far be it from you, Jesus looked at Peter and said, get behind me, Satan. What am I saying? Anybody not agreeing with the vision of God for your life, depart from his presence. That person is an agent of the enemy. That is what the Bible calls Satan. It is manifestation of devil amongst mankind. I hope you understand what I'm trying to say there. All right. So I was saying that faith can increase in level. That's what I want to conclude today with. Listen, if your faith is weak today, it can be strengthened. And there is a process for strengthening your faith. If you read Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17, it says, iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Do you understand that point? That is, the easiest way to sharpen your faith is to listen or interact with somebody who has faith greater than yours. And the commonest way by which you can interact with such people is to read their books. Listen, most great men who succeeded out of ashes, they have books they have written. Buy a copy and read it. Take the most important book of all, the Bible. Read it. Thank God you have tuned in for such a broadcast as this. That's why you are hearing what I'm saying. It is a good point to sharpen your faith. Are you getting my point? The most important thing that weaken people's faith, they are the interactions that they have with the ungodly. That is, people who have no hope. I am one person that if you sit down and start criticizing government and criticizing the economy and criticizing the society, I will get up and leave you. Do you know why? If I listen to you long enough, you will weaken my faith and therefore abort my destiny. I can't afford that. I have too much invested in that destiny. I cannot afford it. I think we'll pick up from that next time. Now, I want to end with one statement. And that's the fact that the beginning of faith actually is faith in Jesus Christ. Let me say this again. Giving your life to Christ, it has little to do with just becoming religious. You understand what I mean by religious? That you carry your faith in a particular way and go to a certain church. No. Jesus is the introduction to the Father, who is the one that blesses mankind. Are you getting my point? He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one can come to the Father except by me. Listen, when we preach that, come to know Jesus, come to Jesus. Nobody is trying to deny you what you call pleasure. In about two or three broadcasts from now, I'll explain that in details. What we are saying is that you will not be able to walk in faith with God if Jesus does not cleanse away your sins. Sin is the greatest hindrance to people's faith. We'll talk about that another time. But remember, you need faith in Jesus as a foundation for your prosperity.
The Way of Success is a production of Kingdom Word Ministries, a non-denominational teaching ministry based in Enugu, Nigeria. For more information and for free access to Pastor Banky's audio messages, books, and other materials, log on to www.kingdomword-ng.org. Our mailing address is mails@kingdomword-ng.org or PO Box 2273 Enugu, Nigeria. Please join us same time next week for another refreshing time with the Word of God, and have a blessed week.